So we're going through, like I say, guys, we're talking about sort of the DNA markers of Ascend Church, those things that, you know, once again, just distinguish us a little bit from just maybe other bodies of Christ, the things that, that we are passionate about. And we've talked about the Word of God, just that preeminence on the Word of God, that that's the foundation of everything we do. We've talked about worship, how the presence-based worship and what we do is so important to the to establishing the community that we are. Witness, to go out and once again, bring evidence of Jesus to the world around us, as Cara shared. And now this morning, so we've gone word, worship, witness, and now Rob's going to share witness today. And witness is that idea of fellowship, getting together, and being the body of Christ. So this morning, Rob, if you want to come up and just share with us, and we got time, bro. We got time. No problem. So, amen.
When Scott asked if I wanted to do this a few months ago, I asked who else was going to be speaking first, and he said Sam, Georgia, and Cara. Oh yeah, that should be easy. They ain't been up there before. And then they just blew me away, and I said, oh Lord, I want to change my mind. I can't do it. And then Scott said, oh, you're going to be speaking on witness. I said, what the heck is witness? And he said, fellowship. Are you trying to play some kind of practical joke? Because you know what I feel about fellowship. It's only one thing I don't like more than that, and that's this, public speaking. And I said, so you want me to get up there and do something I hate, public speak, and talk about something I really don't like? Fellowship. Okay. You got some sick sense of humour, Lord. And then it got worse. It didn't get better. I thought, oh, yeah, I can do that. Shouldn't be too hard. I said, but I want my notes all polished like Sam, Cara, and Georgia, Lord. He was, oh, how about you get up there with no notes? You're pushing it now. And he told me he wants to see two things from me this year, and I think this from the church too. He wants me to be an overcomer and obedient, just like what was talked about this morning. So, you don't ask for much, do you? So this is me being obedient. So I said, well, where do I start, Lord? And he said, what have I always told you when you've got up to speak? Just go and tell what I've done for you. Because, oh, yeah, that should be pretty simple. And so I wasn't panicked until last night. And said, are you going to give me even a little bit, Lord? Just start me off. And I wrote pages and pages and... oh, screw it. It'd be easier to just get up and do what he told me to do. So I'll get myself all confused anyway if I did have notes. Okay, Lord, I'm going out on a limb here, but I'll choose to trust you, trust that you'll speak through me. So, well, as I was sitting there, he gave me a few ideas. He said, just that, right at the very beginning. Just give everybody that doesn't know me a little bit of background as to why I don't like fellowship. Well, nah, that's personal. That means I have to let more walls down that you've already worked on me with. So, okay, go back to the start. When you came to Calvary Chapel, we were back then. So I was sitting there thinking, actually, Lord, now that I think back to my school days, I've always been like this. I didn't like mixing with people. So I had very few people that I would get close to and allowed to get close to me. I said, so I've always been like this through high school. And then he brought back memories of my late teenage years into my 20s and showed me, no, you didn't always fear socializing. There was one time that you really loved it and couldn't wait. And I said, what time was that? And he said, oh, times that I'd rather forget. When I had strayed from the church and gone out into the world and was drinking stuff that I shouldn't have been drinking. I said, yeah, see, when you were under the influence of alcohol, you could talk to anyone and everyone and you wouldn't stop. Like, literally wouldn't stop. So maybe I do like fellowshipping. That's what I looked forward to every weekend. Was going out and being out with others, and I'd drink super fast so I'd have the confidence to talk to people. Okay, enough of that. And he said, so, think back to when you came to church here at Calvary Chapel. And Mum literally dragged me up the stairs. Probably still hungover. And I said, all right, Lord, you know I hate falseness. I hate people's opinions. And I hate people's ideas. So good luck with that. And God was a tricky God. Because Scott back then didn't speak about nothing but the Word. He did it line by line, book one book at a time, precept upon precept. Nothing but the truth. Oh, you're tricky, all right, Lord. That was pretty good. And I said, and the way that Scott taught it was like I'd never seen before. Like I'd watched a lot of televangelists and heard a lot of preachers, but never broke it down like how Scott did. I said, all right, Lord, I'll give this guy another chance, but don't expect me to talk to him or anyone else in that building. Because, yeah, there were three fears I had. People in authority, Pākehās, and females. And there was only a few couples here at the time, and they were all Pākehās. So I either had a choice of talking to Pākehās or the pastor, and I was, screw that. I'm getting out that door as fast as I can. They terrify me. That was only because I was unfamiliar with Pākehās and people in authority. I'd only grown up around Māori guys and was comfortable with them. Anyhow, I thought I'd just slip in the back somewhere and sneak in every week and listen to the Word because I craved, for some reason I craved for the Word because I knew a lot about spirit, the spirit side of thing as we grew up with the spirit. But we, well, we had a bit of Word too, but I was young and didn't listen. It's actually quite good hearing about the Word when you listen and allow God to speak to you through the Word, and I found I just craved it more and more. I was going, this is pretty good. But then Scott had to go and spoil everything. I was quite happily sneaking out the door before anyone could stop me, and he got even craftier, like a crafty old man. And would be prepared to run to the door as he was ending the service and cut me off at the entrance. And I was like, oh no, now I have to be polite and talk. Which took everything in me. And I was, Lord, get this guy out my way. I'm heavier than him. I will bowl him over. And so, yeah, that happened for a few weeks. And but an even worse thing happened. He started becoming friends with my brother. And we all lived together back then, my brother and my sister and me, Leonie and Aaron. And Scott had become friends with Aaron, and Jabron had become friends with our other sister, Hayley, which used to make me fume because I'd be sitting in the car, hurry up, and they'd be up here talking. So I just want to get home. And then Scott got even more cunning and would stop me when Aaron was next to me, so I'd have to stand there and listen to their conversation. And be like, oh. And he didn't end there. He got even sneakier. See, the crafty old man at the back there. He found out that I loved fishing. And through my brother, invited us out fishing with him. And everything in me wanted to say no, but that was my weakness and I couldn't. Yes, I'll come. And and just little by little, he started chipping away at some of these walls that I had put up. And then I started to notice, Lord, me and Aaron, my brother, have always thought the same, acted the same, and we're pretty much almost exactly alike. When I was smaller, we were almost exactly alike. Things have changed, I'm free. Not bound up with pride. And I would watch Aaron and I said, how is he able to talk to people so easily? Because he had no trouble. I worked with him. We worked together in a truck, delivering to customers, which was another thing I absolutely hated because I had to talk to the customers. And being with Aaron, who could talk to anyone, I was stuck there with those same thoughts. Shut your mouth. I want to get back in the truck. And I said, what happened to me, Lord? Or what happened to him, actually? He goes, he was like me, afraid to talk. We only talk pretty much to each other. And I said, well, what happened? I said, what's wrong with me? Why I can't be like that? And I said, this is weird. And I saw my other sister, Haley, who's also had no trouble talking to people. And the Lord said clearly, you've got a fear of rejection. I said, oh, didn't know that was such a thing. And pride. I said, oh, where did that come from? I said, just over the years, starting at primary school, certain things had happened and different hurts and that. I said, you've developed your own defence mechanism. I said, instead of running and hiding under my wings, you built your own little fortress. I said, oh. And it was a pretty good fortress. Nobody could get in. Not unless I let you. And he goes, yeah. And you've made it stronger and stronger because you've kept feeding that fear over the years. And I even perfected the scariest look I could come up with to try and deter people from talking to me. I said, yeah. And he said, that was your other defence mechanism. He said, you're going to reject everybody before they have the chance to reject you. I said, yeah, that kind of makes sense. I can see it clearly now. I said, well, how do I fix that? Yeah. That's why I put you with this annoying, pushy, determined American. He's not going to give up. I said, oh, great. I said, but I didn't pay for patience. Did I have to learn that too through him? And then, yeah, just so he identified the problem I had. And I said, so how do I get it down? I don't have a clue how to even start with talking to people. I mean, there was members of my own family that I didn't talk to. And just through hanging out with Scott, I just noticed I started to open up more and more. And I, what's the heck's going on here? I thought Scott was white. He's not, by the way, but back then I thought he was white. And I'm opening up to this white guy who's a pastor. Two things that terrify me. I said, what's going on here? And he said, you're becoming secure. Said, that's all you needed was to be secure. Said, and God wasn't finished there. He said, I'm going to introduce you to more white people. Well, just let me see some oldies, people I can be myself and not have to worry. And, said, and then, but he didn't. He brought along some more Pakehas. And I was the same pretty much with them, but standoffish. And but through hanging out with Scott and him forcing me to come to men's groups and other things, I got to talking to them too. And they were two of the best guys I've ever met in my life. Oh, it's weird. They're white. There are some good... Well, I don't know how white Jeremy really is. I got a feeling that when he left heaven, his spirit was Māori, and he got sidetracked, jumped into a Pākehā body. And Ian's not too much different to Jeremy too. He's pretty modified too. But these two guys were great. Maybe there are some nice white people that aren't scary. And then through just fellowshipping with Scott, Jeremy and Ian, a few more walls come down and start talking to different people in the church. And maybe they ain't that bad. There was nothing to be afraid of. And then Scott would always go and talk to this person, go and talk to that person, shut your face. I'll talk when I want to talk. And I didn't realize that God was healing me, because that's what needed to happen to be able to speak to people. I said, what happened with Aaron, Lord? Why didn't he have to go through all this? He did. When he was sent to Australia, God put him with one of our uncles who pushed him out of his comfort zone and taught him how to be confident and trust himself, and that he was good enough. So, that's part of the reason we left Scott up here doing the worship on his own. What was it, 2 years, 3 years? I forgot. Because we all, my brothers and sisters included, not to the extent that I was at though, but felt not good enough to be up here. Because I always compared myself to the best guitarist and the best singers, and I can't sing and I can't play, so I ain't getting up there, Lord, until you make me like them. And he said loud and clear, I don't want anyone else like them, I want you. So for 3 years, I said, you can't have me, because I'm all right with listening to Scott do a cappella. And that was all part of those walls that I had built around me through lack of fellowship. One thing that the devil does when you like that is he likes to isolate you from people so he can attack your mind and make you believe things that aren't true, which is a really dangerous place to be, especially if you don't know the Lord, which I was lucky enough to know the Lord. And grew up with a family that we always fellowshiped together and they loved the Lord. So, who knows what would have happened if in my isolated state I didn't know God. I didn't have family and friends that would come around in God's perfect timing and cut off those thoughts that the enemy would put into your head. So I didn't realise how dangerous it was going away from others, that you're open to full-on attacks from the enemy. And if you're not grounded enough in the Word, and if you don't have a strong relationship with the Lord, the enemy can quite easily tear you to pieces. And I thought, wow, Lord, I'm so thankful that you've helped me through these white people get these walls down. And he said, look at it in the Bible, how Adam and Eve craved for each other. Adam wanted a mate, so God gave him a mate. He said, you weren't made to be alone by yourself. He said, look at Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. They travelled around as a family and they were so large that they were like an army. They did everything together. They healed each other. They were there for each other. He said, you don't even have to go that far back. Just look at your own ancestors. That's how they lived, as a community. And there was very little depression and there was no homelessness, because it wasn't about elevating one person to who's got the biggest and the most bank account, flashiest car. It was everybody help everybody, like how the body is supposed to be. No one elevated above anybody else. I said, oh, so we kind of lost that along the way, eh, Lord? Yeah. Maoris have become westernised, and a lot of them have. And that's their goal, was to get the big paycheck, the nice house, and build your fence around your house and not let anyone else in. Well, that's not our way by nature. We're a social people. That's very hospitable, loves welcoming in guests, as you can see by history, what happened to the Māoris back then. They were still forgiving, even though kind of ripped off. They just still chose to forgive and mix with the Pākehās. Now, I heard somebody speak that's been going to a lot of seminars about this Māori and Pākehā thing, and she said, one thing that happened was Māoris, there was a bridge between Māoris and Pākehās. And Māori had crossed the bridge and learnt to live amongst the Pākehā. And he said, but very few Pākehā had crossed back to the other side and learnt to live amongst the Māoris, and therefore are afraid of Māoris. And I suppose because most of us all have defence mechanisms the same. Strong offence is the best defence. You just look at these homeless people, they can appear aggressive, like, don't talk to me, stay away from me. But if you actually talk to them, they'll be looking at Liz, hi. The highest voice you've ever heard, hi, Matua. They're not really like that. It's just a defence mechanism. And we just got to figure out how to get through those walls, like, hang up there, did. Persistence. And yeah, but see, God was gentle with me. He wasn't too forceful at the start because he knew if he pushed too hard, I'd disappear and never be seen again, which is what happens with a lot of Māoris, not just Māoris, but most hurt people. If you prod too much, they're gone. And that's me speaking from experience. Did you want the mic? I was thinking about fellowship, and I said, yeah, fellowship is a really good thing, Lord, and I don't really hate it as much as I like, and I apologise to the church if I've not made that my number one goal, to be fellowship, but I'm not as horrible as I try to appear to be. I will talk, and I will talk your ear off, especially if you want to talk about the Lord. Hey, Ethan. I can talk non-stop. Hey, Jackson, Ethan. And I actually enjoy it. In fact, once a lot of the pride and shyness had broken off me years ago when I was half the size, God told me to start teaching the young ones how to box. And he said he wasn't too concerned about teaching them how to box. He just, the fellowship with the younger guys that were off the track, said they were bound up with drugs and alcohol, pretty much like I was at their age. And said, go and show them something better. Because they would watch as I'd hold the pads for Aaron, who was boxing. And they'd just say, oh, what are you doing there? Well, would you like to learn? Come around twice a week and we'll show you how to hit these pads and bags and that. And so they would. The group of them, sometimes we'd have 13 guys there in my tiny little shed, but we made it work. And before we started, I just told them I have one rule. Before we start, we pray, read a scripture, and when we finish, we pray and read a scripture. And a lot of them would, I don't know how to pray. And we're all going to have turns at praying and reading the scripture. And it was pretty hard going at first, for the first few weeks, because most of them were like me. Didn't like to talk. Didn't like to be vulnerable. And I said, well, I've done it here, so I can do it in front of these guys, and I'll go first. And then somebody else can do it after the training until you feel comfortable, and then you're going to be doing it. And then week after week, sometimes I'd be still at work and turn up and they're sitting there waiting for me, and they're, oh, come on, let's get straight into training. We got to do the prayer and the scripture. Oh, crap. Okay, then, who wants to do it? And then they'll be, I'll do it. No, I'll do it. You did it last week. And so, oh, wow. And then they wanted scriptures on the walls. So we put scriptures up on the walls for encouragement. And the Lord said, see what you would have missed out on if you were still bound up, because I wouldn't have even talked to those young guys or given them the time of day, because a few of them I didn't know. And he said, just come close to me. Get out of those walls and build up your relationship with me. And he said, and through him, I can do all things. I said, oh, wow, that's something I had forgotten. He is the answer to everything, and the fellowship with the Lord is the most important thing there is on this earth. I said, and so, like I said before, my goal here is not to fellowship with each other. That's not me being rude. I've had experiences with the Lord that I don't want anyone else to miss out on. And as he's called me here to lead the worship, that is my number one goal. I know how to bring the Lord's presence in. I'm hoping that one day I'll be, with the help of everybody here, be able to bring the Lord's presence so strong that no matter who's in this building, whether they know Jesus or not, when before they leave, they will meet him and they will know him. Are you coming to save me now? Are you? Oh, well, that's it. Finished.
Vegan. yeah, look, I think I was blessed enough that when I arrived over in Rotorua and got to know Rob, that Scott had already broken him in, so he was less shy and timid. But I just want to say that I'm a different person, and I'm a better person because of Rob and because of our friendship. He's probably one of three guys who I would count as my three best friends, and Scott is one of the others. And that fellowship, you know, sometimes we take it for granted, and I'm a little bit like Rob and prefer to kind of keep to myself. It's easier, it's a lot less effort, and I find it draining to be around people. But what I found last year, I went through a really tough time, and was ready to throw all my toys out of the cotton. And Rob was the one who reached out and stopped me from doing something really stupid. So fellowship is just so important. And it's worth the effort. It's worth kind of bringing down those walls, just being a little bit vulnerable with each other and getting to know each other, because you just don't know when it's going to save your life or put you on the right course when you're on a path to destruction. So thank you, bro. It was a good word. And love you, and just so appreciate you.
In Jeremiah 23, it says, "Is not my word like a fire, declares the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces." And, you know, when we put up those walls, it's like God knows the right hammer to come in and just break them down and to break them into pieces. And I tell you, there's a beauty in ignorance, guys, because Rob talked about how much, oh, we didn't like you, we were intimidated by you, blah, blah, blah. Here's a funny thing. Every Sunday, I'd tell my wife, I'm like, man, I think they really like me. you know? And she'd just be like, okay, yeah, maybe they do. But the reality is it's like, I started on the other side, you know. I started on the Maori side of the bridge, and still feel a little weird, sort of crossing back over onto the Pakeha side. But the reality is what Rob's saying is that we have a sense where we need fellowship in the body of Christ. Amen. I need fellowship. That's what Jeremy's testifying about. We need fellowship within the body of Christ, but we also need, in my opinion, that fellowship cross-culturally. Because there are things that I initially saw within Māoridom that I thought, man, I need that. The idea of the extended family, I didn't have that at all. The way we take care of children, I didn't have that at all. And it's a matter of going back and forth. So, look, guys, Rob, Jeremy, and myself, and many of the ones here, we can be a little standoffish. We apologize. We're just trying to get healed. Amen? We're just trying to get healed. But that's why we say, no one fits in, because we don't. But we choose to belong, to be a part of this. So that's our hope and our prayer for Ascend Church. Amen? Amen. Let's just quickly stand, pray, and get on with our day. So let's just stand up together before the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you that we can stand as one body. We thank you for our brother Rob, for the kamatua, Lord, for the rangatira. That stands before our fellowship, Lord, for the man of God who once again, I cannot bring the presence of the Lord. I think on some level I can bring knowledge of the Lord, but I can't bring the presence. So I need my brother to do what you have gifted him to do. And Lord, there are other brothers and sisters out there who have pieces to the puzzle that the whole thing could be made a beautiful mosaic before the Lord and just a piece of wonderful art before you. So Lord, as your body, can we be one, operating in our gifts, operating in our identity, and loving one another. In Jesus' name, and all those agreeing said, amen. All right, get on with your day, guys. Don't forget Boys Beach next week. Grab someone, head out to lunch, head out to the beach, enjoy the weather, enjoy the season.